The Coming One World Religion, Part 4. What is global warming? Global warming is a belief system, not a science, that mankind is responsible for the warming up of our planet. It has become the latest craze of the environmental religion to assert more control and regulations upon everyone on the planet, all in the name of saving our planet. Global warming is always taught as a solid fact in which all scientists agree. For the United Nations, it has become the wave that they can use to continue their rise to world government status. For Mikhail Gorbachev of Greenpeace International, it has become the tool of continuing communism by trying to force the nations of the world to comply with the Kyoto Treaty, which requires nations to purchase carbon credits from the other nations that do not use up all of their carbon emission credits that they have been allotted. Wealth redistribution at its finest. Wealthier nations paying poorer nations for air. According to an article found on National Geographic website, the planet is heating up, and fast. Glaciers are melting, sea levels are rising, cloud forests are drying, and wildlife is scrambling to keep pace. It's becoming clear that humans have caused most of the past century's warming by releasing heat-trapping gases as we power our modern lives, called greenhouse gases. Their levels are higher now than in the last 650,000 years. We call the result global warming, but it is causing a set of changes to the Earth's climate or long-term weather patterns that varies from place to place. As the Earth spins each day, the new heat swirls with it, picking up moisture over the oceans, rising here, settling there. It's changing the rhythms of the climate that all living things have come to rely on. What will we do to slow this warming? How will we cope with the changes we've already set into motion? While we struggle to figure it all out, the face of the Earth as we know it, coasts, forests, farms, and snow-capped mountains, hangs in the balance. Greenhouse effect. The greenhouse effect is the warming that happens when certain gases in Earth's atmosphere trap heat. These gases let in light, but keep heat from escaping, like the glass walls of a greenhouse. First, sunlight shines onto the Earth's surface, where it is absorbed and then radiates back into the atmosphere as heat. In the atmosphere, greenhouse gases trap some of this heat, and the rest escapes into space. The more greenhouse gases are in the atmosphere, the more heat gets trapped. Scientists have known about the greenhouse effect since 1824, when Joseph Fourier calculated that the Earth would be much colder if it had no atmosphere. This greenhouse effect is what keeps the Earth's climate livable. Without it, the Earth's surface would be an average of about 60 degrees Fahrenheit cooler. In 1895, the Swedish chemist Svante Arrhenius discovered that humans could enhance the greenhouse effect by making carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas. He kicked off 100 years of climate research that has given us a sophisticated understanding of global warming. Levels of greenhouse gases, GHGs, have gone up and down over the Earth's history, but they have been fairly constant for the past few thousand years. Global average temperatures have stayed fairly constant over that time as well, until recently. Through the burning of fossil fuels and other GHG emissions, humans are enhancing the greenhouse effect and warming the Earth. Scientists often use the term climate change instead of global warming. This is because as the Earth's average temperature climbs, winds and ocean currents move heat around the globe in ways that can cool some areas, warm others, and change the amount of rain and snow falling. As a result, the climate changes differently in different areas. Aren't temperature changes natural? The average global temperature and concentrations of carbon dioxide, one of the major greenhouse gases, have fluctuated on a cycle of hundreds of thousands of years as the Earth's position relative to the Sun has varied. As a result, ice ages have come and gone. However, for thousands of years now, emissions of GHGs to the atmosphere have been balanced out by GHGs that are naturally absorbed. As a result, GHG concentrations and temperature have been fairly stable. This stability has allowed human civilization to develop within a consistent climate. Occasionally, other factors briefly influence global temperatures. Volcanic eruptions, for example, emit particles that temporarily cool the Earth's surface. But these have no lasting effect beyond a few years. Other cycles, such as El Niño, also work on fairly short and predictable cycles. Now humans have increased the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere by more than a third since the Industrial Revolution. Changes this large have historically taken thousands of years, but are now happening over the course of decades. Why is this a concern? The rapid rise in greenhouse gases is a problem because it is changing the climate faster than some living things may be able to adapt. Also, a new and more unpredictable climate poses unique challenges to all life. Historically, Earth's climate has regularly shifted back and forth between temperatures like those we see today and temperatures cold enough that large sheets of ice covered much of North America and Europe. The difference between average global temperatures today and during those ice ages is only about 5 degrees Celsius, 9 degrees Fahrenheit, and these swings happen slowly over hundreds of thousands of years. Now with concentrations of greenhouse gases rising, Earth's remaining ice sheets, such as Greenland and Antarctica, are starting to melt too. The extra water could potentially raise sea levels significantly. As the mercury rises, the climate can change in unexpected ways. In addition to sea levels rising, weather can become more extreme. This means more intense major storms, more rain followed by longer and drier droughts, a challenge for growing crops, changes in the ranges which plants and animals can live, and loss of water supplies that have historically come from glaciers. Scientists are already seeing some of these changes occurring more quickly than they had expected. According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, 11 of the 12 hottest years since thermometer readings became available occurred between 1995 and 2006. However, WorldNet Daily has carried many articles of interest concerning opposition to global warming as a fact that is agreed upon by all scientists. I would like to read one such article entitled 31,000 Scientists Reject Global Warming Agenda. Mr. Gore's movie has claims no informed expert endorses. More than 31,000 scientists across the United States, including more than 9,000 PhDs in fields such as atmospheric science, climatology, earth science, environment, and dozens of other specialties, have signed a petition rejecting global warming, the assumption that the human production of greenhouse gases is damaging Earth's climate. There is no convincing scientific evidence that humans' release of carbon dioxide, methane, or other greenhouse gases is causing, or will, in the foreseeable future, cause catastrophic heating of the Earth's atmosphere and disruption of the Earth's climate, the petition states. Moreover, there is substantial scientific evidence that increases in atmospheric carbon dioxide produce many beneficial effects upon the natural planet and animal environments of the Earth. The petition project actually was launched nearly 10 years ago when the first few thousand signatures were assembled. Then between 1999 and 2007, the list of signatures grew gradually without any special effort or campaign. But now a new effort has been conducted because of an escalation of the claims of consensus, release of the movie An Inconvenient Truth by Mr. Al Gore, and related events, according to officials with the project. Mr. Gore's movie, asserting a consensus and settled science and agreement about human-caused global warming, conveyed the claims about human-caused global warming to ordinary moviegoers and to public school children to whom the film was widely distributed. Unfortunately, Mr. Gore's movie contains many very serious incorrect claims which no informed, honest scientist could endorse, said project spokesman and founder Art Robinson. Robinson, a research professor of chemistry, co-founded the Linus Pauling Institute of Science and Medicine with Linus Pauling in 1973, and later co-founded the Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine. He also publishes the Access to Energy newsletter. WND submitted a request to Gore's office for comment but did not get a response. Robinson said the dire warnings about global warming have gone far beyond semantics or scientific discussion, now to the point they are actually endangering people. The campaign to severely ration hydrocarbon energy technology has now been markedly expanded, he said. In the course of this campaign, many scientifically invalid claims about impending climate emergencies are being made. Simultaneously, proposed political actions to severely reduce hydrocarbon use now threaten the prosperity of Americans and the very existence of hundreds of millions of people in poorer countries, he said. In just the past few weeks, there have been various allegations that both shark attacks and typhoons have been sparked by global warming. The late Professor Frederick Seitz, the past president of the U.S. National Academy of Sciences and winner of the National Medal of Science, wrote in a letter promoting the petition, "The United States is very close to adopting an international agreement that would ration the use of energy and of technologies that depend upon coal, oil, and natural gas, and some other organic compounds. This treaty is, in our opinion, based upon flawed ideas. Research data on climate change do not show that human use of hydrocarbons is harmful. To the contrary, there is good evidence that increased atmospheric carbon dioxide is environmentally helpful," he wrote. Accompanying the letter sent to scientists was a 12-page summary and review of research on global warming, officials said. The proposed agreement would have very negative effects upon the technologies of nations throughout the world, especially those that are currently attempting to live from poverty and provide opportunities to the over 4 billion people in technologically underdeveloped countries, Seitz wrote. Robinson said the project targets scientists because it is especially important for America to hear from its citizens who have the training necessary to evaluate the relevant data and offer sound advice. He said the Global Warming Agreement, written in Kyoto, Japan, in 1997, and other plans, would harm the environment, hinder the advance of science and technology, and damage the health and welfare of mankind. Yet, he said, the United Nations and other vocal political interests says the U.S. must enact new laws that will sharply reduce domestic energy production and raise energy prices even higher. The inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness include the right of access to life-giving and life-enhancing technology. This is especially true of access to the most basic of all technologies, energy. These human rights have been extensively and wrongly abridged, he continued. During the past two generations in the U.S., a system of high taxation, extensive regulation, and litigation has arisen that prevents the accumulation of sufficient capital and the exercise of sufficient freedom to build and preserve needed modern technology. These unfavorable political trends have severely damaged our energy production, where lack of industrial progress has left our country dependent upon foreign sources for 30% of the energy required to maintain our current level of prosperity, he said. Moreover, the transfer of other U.S. industries abroad as a result of these same trends has left the U.S. citizens with too few goods and services to trade for the energy that they do not produce. A huge and unsustainable trade deficit and rapidly rising energy prices have been the result. The necessary hydrocarbon and nuclear energy production technologies have been available to U.S. engineers for many decades. We can develop these resources without harm to people or the environment. There is absolutely no technical, resource, or environmental reason for the U.S. to be a net importer of energy. The U.S. should, in fact, be a net exporter of energy, he said. He told WND he believes the issue has nothing to do with energy itself, but everything to do with power, control, and money, which the United Nations is seeking. He accused the United Nations of violating human rights in its campaign to ban much energy research, exploration, and development. In order to alleviate the current energy emergency and prevent future emergencies, we need to remove the governmental restrictions that have caused this problem. Fundamental human rights require that U.S. citizens and their industries be free to produce and use the low-cost, abundant energy that they need. As the 31,000 signatories of this petition emphasize, environmental science supports this freedom, he said. The petition project website said there are 31,072 scientists who have signed up, and Robinson said more names continue to come in. In terms of PhD scientists alone, it already has 15 times more scientists than are seriously involved in the UN's campaign to vilify hydrocarbons, officials told WND. The very large number of petition signers demonstrates that if there is a consensus among American scientists, it is in opposition to the human-caused global warming hypothesis rather than in favor of it, the organization noted. The project was set up by a team of physicists and physical chemists who do research at several American institutions and collect signatures when donations provide the resources to mail out more letters. In a group of more than 30,000 people, there are many individuals with names similar or identical to other signatories or to non-signatories, real or fictional. Opponents of the petition project sometimes use this statistical fact in efforts to discredit the project. For examples, Perry Mason and Michael Fox are scientists who have signed the petition, who happen also to have names identical to fictional or real non-scientists, the website said. The petition is needed, supporters said, simply because Gore and others have claimed that the science is settled, that an overwhelming consensus of scientists agrees with the hypothesis of human-caused global warming, with only a handful of skeptical scientists in disagreement. The list of scientists includes 9,021 PhDs, 6,961 at the master's level, 2,240 medical doctors, and 12,850 carrying a Bachelor of Science or equivalent academic degree. The Petition Project's website includes both a list of scientists by name as well as a list of scientists by state. So at this point, we all should be wondering why it is that we are not informed by radio or TV as to the other side of the global warming information. Instead, we are told over and over that global warming is a fact, in which case we the people must all come together in terms of action to change the fate of our planet. At this time, I would like to read one more article provided by WorldNet Daily, entitled, Does Climate Change Mean Changing Data? NASA temperature figures show agency reworking recent numbers upwards, older numbers downwards. Methodology used by NASA to estimate rates of climate change are resulting in dramatic shifts in previously published historical temperature data, causing figures for estimated global surface temperature prior to 1970 to now be lower, and figures since 1970 to now be higher, and appearing to provide evidence for those who say the Earth is warming. John Goetz, writer last month in the science blog Climate Audit, analyzed the way NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies calculates estimated global surface temperatures and showed that the addition of new contemporary data could have a ripple effect all the way back to the beginning of a weather station's history. Goetz found 32 different versions of published global annual averages going back to September 24, 2005. That showed the published figures. Figures used as a baseline to demonstrate change through time, changing hundreds of times. On average, 20% of the historical record was modified 16 times in the last 2.5 years, he wrote. The largest single jump was 0.27 degrees Celsius. This occurred between the October 13, 2006 and January 15, 2007 records, when August 2006 changed from an anomaly of plus 0.43 degrees Celsius to plus 0.7 degrees Celsius, a change of nearly 68%. Temperature anomalies, differences between the average measured global air temperature and some long-term mean, are primary data for studies of climate change. The magnitude of the changes in the reworked historical data observed by Goetz, 0.27 degrees Celsius, is more than a third of the total average increase in global temperature near the Earth's surface that has occurred over the last century, according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. U.S. Temperature Anomalies, 1999 report. A comparison of annual temperature anomalies for the United States from 1880 to 1999 further revealed that shifts in historical estimates of temperature since NASA refined its data for the period of 1930 to 1999 are biased toward global warming. Stephen Goddard, writing in the Register, analyzed two different NASA reports of historic temperature anomalies published in 1999 and 2007 and showed estimates for years in the 1930s through 1970 were lowered, while estimates for years from 1970 to 1999 were increased between the two reporting periods. The results, when graphed, described a temperature regimen that was cooler than previously thought prior to 1970 and warmer than thought since. Precisely what advocates of global warming argue, but what earlier renditions of the data did not so clearly state. That, said Goddard, defied statistical odds. U.S. Temperature Anomalies, 2007 report. So what is the probability of this effort consistently increasing recent temperatures and decreasing older temperatures? From a statistical viewpoint, data recalculation should cause each year to have a 50-50 probability of going either up or down. Thus, the odds of all 70 adjusted years working in concert to increase the slope of the graph are an astronomical 2 raised to the power of 70. That is 1,000 billion billion to 1. This isn't an exact representation of the odds because for some of the years, less than 15, the revisions went against the trend. But even a 55/15 split is about as likely as a room full of chimpanzees eventually typing out Hamlet. That would be equivalent to flipping a penny 70 times and having it come up heads 55 times. It will never happen. 1 trillion to 1 odds. 2 raised to the power of 40. Particularly troubling are the years from 1986 to 1998. In the 2007 version of the graph, the 1986 data was adjusted upwards by 0.4 degrees relative to the 1999 graph. In fact, every year except one from 1986 to 1998 was adjusted upwards by an average of 0.2 degrees. If someone wanted to present a case for a lot of recent warming, adjusting data upwards would be an excellent way to do it. NASA is not the only source of long-term temperature data used to evaluate climate change. Like NASA, the UK Meteorological Office's Hadley Center for Climate Studies depends on a network of ground-based weather stations using thermometers. Both are limited by their number of stations. The heat island effects on many of the sites located in urban areas, changes in thermometer types over time, and the loss of station sites over the historical periods being measured. Data gathered from these systems often have to be adjusted to remove noise caused by the local environment so it can be standardized for analysis. The University of Alabama at Huntsville and remote sensing systems provide data gathered by Earth observation satellites. Satellite temperature data has the advantage of being gathered across the entire surface of the Earth, except for regions near the two poles, but it is unavailable for the period prior to 1978. How do these other data sources compare to NASA? According to Hadley's data, worldwide temperatures have declined since 1998, and the Earth is not much warmer now than it was in 1978 or 1941. Both the UAH and RSS satellite data agree with Hadley and show temperatures declining over the past decade, with only a slight increase above the 30-year average between 1978 and 2008. More recently, NASA temperatures indicated March 2008 was the third warmest March in history. RSS and UAH showed the same month as only slightly above average globally and the second coldest ever in the Southern Hemisphere. As WND has previously reported, James Hansen, head of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, warned in 2006, "We have a very brief window of opportunity to deal with climate change, no longer than a decade at the most." The same week, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration issued a report saying the U.S. hottest year was in the past, 1936. Can anyone say one world government, one world religion, and one world economy? In Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who was like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns, like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.